model GF, podcaster BF. And she says, what does that mean? And I just go, it's just, it's a compliment, but also a joke.
What's the best version of Isaac in the DLC to play? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know about all that. It's crazy to me. It's good, by the way. But it's crazy to me that there are people that still care about Isaac. It's complimentary. Ooh, hold that for 12 years. He says while he's playing it. Logical inconsistencies and these are still around too. That's crazy to me. I thought you all became like SpongeBob shit posters or whatever. She's a rich girl. Don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy. Empty as a pocket. Hey, you know what's an album you don't hear that's talked about that much anymore? Boys and Girls in America by The Hold Steady. Why? A lot of music from my teenage years has now made it mainstream into like movies and stuff like that. You don't hear shit about The Hold Steady anymore. Whatever happened to everybody saying Craig Finn was like the new Bruce Springsteen of Minneapolis, St. Paul? Yeah, Stuck Between Stations is like one of the goated indie rock songs of all time of the mid-2000s. Great album. Rest of their stuff is pretty boring. Excuse me, motherfucker. Separation Sunday is still pretty good. And then like Stay Positive has a couple of bangers. It fell off a little bit. I'm not going to deny that. But Separation Sunday and Boys and Girls in America are still pretty slick, bro. Don't talk to me about the Minnesota state flag. I never thought I'd have to go to war with CGP Grey. Bro, your bomb synergy? Weren't we just talking about how incredible it is that there's people who still care about Isaac? People be like, bro, you didn't take the 4X on your hydrogen bomb, Oppie. Don't worry, he's going to be fine, in a manner of speaking. I haven't seen the movie. No spoilers, please. Spoiler, it's mid. Most vaped out Rizzler you've ever seen in your entire life voice. Oh, good movie? It's actually not that good. Sorry, that was a personal attack. I don't know if you look like the most vaped out Rizzler of all time. Poppy did what? That's an extension of my earlier mean-spirited joke. It's in the format of Twitter. The least healthy-looking person you've ever seen. Bro, that's not good for you. I'm still working on that one. It's a little too rude right now. If we could get it slightly less rude, the people that the joke is about would laugh while also realizing that the joke is on them a little bit. So it needs a little tweak. We're working on it. I got the eggheads in the lab, in the comedy lab, cooking on it. Dude who eats nothing but McDonald's, you know McDonald's isn't good for you? That's what I'm saying! I remember Joey Diaz said blending fruits isn't good for you. That's not the literal genesis of the bit, but that's where society made me take the nutrition black pill. When people started saying fruits aren't good for you. And then I'm like, so what do you eat, vegetables? And they're like, no, mostly just beef. And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? Fruits aren't good for you? Weren't they put on this earth to nourish us? Doesn't make any damn sense. Sugar is bad? Maybe. I don't know. The jury's still out on that. Editor's note, the jury is not out on that. But isn't it one of the... excuse me, don't insult me. I'm not intelligent design pilled. I'm actually so evolution pilled that it's disgusting. I don't know. This is a joke that goes too much into evolutionary sort of like psychology, which was very in vogue when I was in, you know, my last couple of years in university. Basically, part of the... I don't know if this is an explicitly stated thesis of the discipline, but the idea was... You know, after it became scientifically sorted that evolution and, you know, selection is a real thing. Sort of almost everything in human behavior in the field of biology came to be viewed through an evolutionary lens. So I don't know if it's still in vogue now, but if it was, you would be reading like master's theses that were like, what is the evolutionary benefit of gooning? You know, you'd be like, well, maybe evolution has selected for humans that have a higher sex drive because in the historical record, they would have produced more progeny. Like, that's what almost every single one of my senior year seminars was like. It's like, why do human beings like television? Well, television means you're not hunting, gathering, or anything like that, but possibly entertainment historically, like in the prehistoric human civilization, would have led to stronger social bonds between members of the tribes, which would have led vis-a-vis to more fucking, which means more kids, which means better chances for your genes to, you know, propagate through the next generation. And I was like, so true. I don't know. There's probably like an element of truth to it to some extent. I don't know if it applies to like, I mean, if that could explain why society loves the Big Bang Theory, then it's the best hypothesis we got so far. Because it's good. Oh, like you're doing right now? Meanwhile, history majors say we know or we don't know, but who cares anyway? History's kind of crazy to me. As a lay person who is only really interfacing with the Dan Carlin model of history, are we ever worried that eventually there's not going to be any history to support the amount of historians out there? Like, my wife has a degree in performance of music, open parentheses, oboe, okay? So I promise you, I'm not telling you this from through the lens of like trying to be rude. There's too many musicians out there on planet Earth. They're producing too many people with music degrees. Not like, oh, I hate seeing them, but there's simply not enough fit in the market for the amount of people that are getting the degrees. They're graduating like 10,000 oboists a year worldwide, and there's like 8 orchestra spots, okay? Now, you can still go to school for stuff that, like, you know, is just enriches your life, but I do feel like a lot of the time, the kids that go into it are like, I'm gonna be a professional musician, and then by the time you graduate, you're like, oh, fuck. People still don't really like classical music. I'm sorry, it's just... Listen, I have a biology degree. It's the same thing. Nobody wants a motherfucker with a bachelor's of science in biology. I was like, I want a stable job. Let me get a science degree. Then I got it, and every motherfucker was like, not that one. Are you insane? One of the other ones. But is that not a possibility with history as well? Eventually, haven't we seen all the clay shards that there are to see? They're not making more. I mean, we're making more, but those are the pottery majors. They keep making more history? I guess not every historian is like studying ancient Rome, huh? Like, I guess you could be like a historian who's like, my field of expertise is like 1997. In many ways, I feel like maybe being a historian is sort of like being a classical musician. Like a classical musician, oftentimes they get into it and they're like, oh, I'm like really into, you know, like the Baroque period of music. And then they pursue that and it's not financially viable. So then they have to play like, you know, hey, it's the music of Indiana Jones. And they look out at the concert hall and that bitch is packed. It's standing room only. And everybody in the theater is going, dun, 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 dun. And the movie's playing behind you on the background too. And you're like, what are we doing here? Is that like historians? They're like, my field of research is like mysticism in ancient Babylon. And then like 5 years down the road, you're like, fine, fucking history of aviation in World War II. And then the people are like, yes, take my money, please, take my money. And then you're like, okay, that funds like 3 more years of me doing Gnosticism in pre Battle of Hastings, England, or something like that, right? Maybe it's something like that. I'm not touching this because I don't know what it does. Do you think historians in the future who specialize in the 2000s are in for a giga ride? Listen, again, I'm dumb smart, okay? So I'm just yapping. This may not apply. In some ways, yes, in the sense that there should be more records for them to sort through. But, like, historians are going to be fucking booming, bro, in, like, the year 2300. Imagine you get assigned to watch, like, all of World of T-Shirts' as TikToks, write your master's thesis on that. That being said, I do... It feels like things are crazy, but within the context of, like, all of human history, I don't know if we're living in a particularly insane time. Like, there's new things going on, but if you look at the history of humanity, like, the little glimmer of it that we're even aware of, I mean, there was, like, a plague that killed a third of the world's population over the course of, like, 90 years. That shit would be, like... I mean, I guess they've already studied that one. If they haven't, they should get on it. Like, I would think that that's a little crazier than what we're going through. Or, like, even, like, our great-grandparents' generation who lived through two world wars, one of which culminated with the invention of, like, a potentially species-destroying weapon. Like, that's fucking insane, bro. And that's great-grandma. Where when she shows up to Thanksgiving dinner, we're like happy to see her, but also like a little annoyed because she's not the greatest conversationalist. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you know what I'm saying, right? You're like, I'm happy she's here, but at the same time, like, we're not, it's not that productive for us. Come on, people are going, no, I don't know what you're saying. You know what I'm saying. Because she's racist? No. Not your grandma, your great-grandma. Your grandma might be a little racist. I'm 35, man. Like, my great-grandma. I don't have any great-grandmas left, but... And I mean, it's been so... I can't even remember. I might have only had one great-grandma when I was born. Kate's grandma is 92 or something like that. So that's my daughter's great-grandma. It boggles my mind to think of what, like, she has seen in her life. It is insane that... I think it helps... I'm not trying to minimize struggles that other people are going through right now. Don't get me wrong. But I think it does help keep things in perspective for me. Where I'm like, oh, social media is creating like a disinformation age that's really troubling. Society's never been through something like this before. Then I think of Kate's grandma being born into like Korea that then got invaded by Japan, occupied by Japan for like 10 years, and then lived through the entire World War II under Japanese occupation, and then had like a 5-year break, and then the Korean War broke out when she was like 38 or something, and devastated the entire country, which then got split into two, and the war never ended. And that shit ended probably, she was like 40, in her early 40s maybe, and she was probably like, I'm tapped. And it's been 50 years. I guess it's been 70 years since the end of the Korean War, so she was a little younger, but she's lived 70 years since then, man. That's just like the rise of South Korea from like a developing nation into like a technological juggernaut, exporting like its culture worldwide, creation of like, you know, seeing her home country go from like horses to electric automobiles and stuff like that. It's crazy, man. Yeah, the season one of Family Guy, lots of stuff. I should ask her how she feels about Train to Busan. It's a good movie, man. I personally guarantee you she has not heard of Train to Busan, which is fine. She's 92 or 94. She's old enough that you just kind of like give a range and people are like, I get it. You should show her Skibidi Toilet. At some point, you know, I think it goes against the Hippocratic Oath, okay? That wouldn't be responsible. Are you a doctor? No, but like, I still like want to do as little harm as possible to my family. You think she'd be great at Sine to Nurtle? No, I don't think so. I think our fathers are warriors. Wait, our grandfathers were warriors, so their sons could be accountants, so we could be good at Sine to Nurtle. So that our kids could become accountants, so that our grandkids could become warriors. I don't know. I'm just yapping. But no, I don't know. Like, I guess my take on it is, I don't necessarily, I think we're living through an interesting time. I think in a way, all times were probably interesting. Like, I think even if you're living through a period of history where like not that much happened in a historical sense, I'm sure you're not like, damn, this bitch boring as hell. Like, I'm sure you got your own, you know, problems to concern yourself with. I should have rerolled the devil deal. Like that, for example. 40,000 BC, probably boring as fuck. But like, it's boring now. Because, you know, when you live life, you don't really, at least like the stuff that we've lived through in the 20th century, it's not like every second of every day is saturated with historically meaningful events. Like, it's mostly like Netflix and work. And then like in between that stuff, you're like, check out what happened today. They were probably trying not to get eaten by the dinosaurs and shit like that. Yeah, do you think anyone during World War II ever turned on the news and they were like, oh, fucking, let me guess, World War II again. Here we go. Get some new material. Probably. Probably like, I get it, bro. Americans for the first few years. So true. Hey, can I get a fact check? When did Canada enter World War II? Were we forced to declare war in 1939 when England did? Or were we chilling for a bit? They don't teach us much of the bad stuff. 39 alongside the UK? On a very common Canadian dub, get owned, America, get owned. What took you so long? Oh, the New Deal, the Great Depression. Fuck you, bro. You weren't there, okay? Canada's never won a war on their own. Counterpoint, I get by with a little help from my friends, Ringo Starr. How do you feel about that? Owned. Hoisted by your own petard. Canada beat the US in the War of 1812. Listen, we can't go back to that rhetoric because I already told Americans the secret sauce. If you want, I can give you like a three-step process to make a Canadian very mad because it's happened to me. First off, wait till America beats Canada and not just places higher in a tournament, but actually literally beats them in some sort of sporting event, and then start talking about how much better America is than Canada. Without a doubt, 100% of the time, they will bring up the War of 1812. They'll say, yeah, we burned down your White House in the War of 1812. And then you'll say, this is your next step. It's a multi-step process. You say, when did Canada become a country again? And most of them will say, I don't know. But if they don't know, the answer is 1867. And then you'll say, how could you defeat us in a war when you weren't even a country? The United Kingdom defeated the US in the War of 1812. Canada didn't even exist then. There's no, because I've been there, there's no counter argument to that. They just gotta be like, well, be that as it may, but you only use that in a pinch, okay? Like, only if they really deserve it, because it is a really, like, it's a tactical nuclear missile. Like, you're not coming back from that. You may not be friends afterwards. But I hate to say it, but it is, in at least the literal sense, it is true. What concessions did you receive for defeating us? I didn't defeat you. England defeated you. I don't know what concessions they got, but we burned your White House down. So suck on that. please do it again. Not a, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is all historical context. Don't get me in trouble, okay? We don't even learn about that shit in school. I get it. You got a lot of, like, conflicts to learn, okay? I think it's changed a little bit, but, like, a lot of my, at least, like, my middle school Canadian history education, a lot of the fucked up stuff that happened in the 1700s and the 1800s, they're like, that was the English and the French, the settlers and the colonists that did that shit. Then the triumphs, they're like, this post has been fact checked by real Canadian patriots. More Isaac, eh? Listen, I could read between the lines. Oh, nothing else to play, huh? Oh, he's washed. Listen, they haven't gotten me on the GTA 5 role-playing server, okay? I'm 334,000th in queue. It's good banter. Plus, we've been doing a lot of multiplayer stuff. It's nice to have some solo banter time, you know? I love the solo, or I love the multiplayer banter stuff, just for the record. I would play Lethal Company every day. I have to show you this clip. Because this is Apollo's voice, okay? And is fucking with me, bro. Apollo sent me the clip of the... And what I heard was a little girl saying, hide. How do you mute the music in this game? And then a crawler came out and tried to eat me, and I went gamer mode, but in a good way. But listen to this. This is Apollo's voice. Hi. I don't know how well you can hear that. But you can probably get the gist of it, right? Hide. Turn it up. I think it's as high as I can get it without cranking everything else up, relatively speaking. Listen, we'll get quiet, okay? Ready? Hide. Are you hearing that? That's Apollo. He sent it to me and said, I'm freaking out. This doesn't sound like me at all. And I was like, I know. I believe I said, you can see why I was freaking out. Because it's a little ghost girl saying either hide or hi. And then immediately a monster jumps across like a 15-foot gap and tries to eat my face. Hide. Hello, Sinvicta. Hello. What did Kate say? Everyone's saying, let's freaking go. To what Kate said. That could mean anything. She could have said, mom found the piss drawer. She could have said, I got us something for lunch. She could have said, yo, we got an appointment with our doctor. Let's go. The soonest is next Monday. Well, okay. That's a long way away, but weirdly kind of like bullish. I don't want to take any credit, Kate, but I think it was my second voicemail, because I was out of breath from having been on the Peloton recently, so I probably sounded like it was really urgent. So they were like, let's move some shit around and get this guy a 10-minute appointment 17 days from now. I get to see the doctor within 2 days. Pog. I have to do a school test. A stool test. A poop test. Not Pog. Brother, you are complaining about nothing. Literally, you just have to go poop. This is not one where you can be victimized. You're getting, it appears that you're getting proper healthcare in a timely fashion. You're probably gonna do that shit anyway. Not to mention, it depends what you have, but take it from me. Having given many stool samples last summer, while literally every stool was just pure liquid, and then they give you a little, I still remember the instructions. They're like, Put the toilet seat up, put a layer of saran wrap down on the toilet, and then close the toilet seat lid to hold it in place, and then drop your log on the saran wrap. And there was no flow chart that was like, hey, what if my log isn't a log? So the first time I tried to take a... This is all true and disgusting, but you brought it up, by the way. This is the human body, by the way, so get ready. The first time I did it, the saran wrap didn't hold... the incredible volume of my bowel movement. So it ripped and the stool fell into the toilet. It went back to the place where it wanted to be in the first place. So I had to wait like, I don't know, probably like 45 minutes for the urge to strike again because I was really sick. And then I like double wrapped it so it could actually hold. Went diarrhea on top of the saran wrap and then had to use a little spoon that they gave me to scoop the liquid diarrhea shit into a cup and then keep it in our fridge for like 12 hours until I could drop it off at the hospital. Yeah, I know it's gross. If they didn't want it to be gross, they should have taken that shit seriously the first two times I went to urgent care. Not like the ninth time when I had to go to the emergency room. They had their chance to deal with something a little less disgusting. They said, nah, bro, we think you're faking it. What was the problem? You're in for a treat, brother. I had a simultaneous infection of Salmonella and Campylobacter bacteria. I'm not going to give you the cliff notes. You can watch the librarian video if you're interested. That pretty much covers it all. It's 4 hours long, though. It's kind of on the short side for the librarian. Yeah, it's true. We must not have talked about it enough. It's kind of crazy. All they needed was a stool sample. There's so many wrinkles to the story when I look back. Them finally giving me the lab request so I could go get urine and blood tests. And then I gave them the lab request, but it was they took the blood, but it was literally like the Friday before Canada Day. So they were like, sorry, nobody works this weekend. And I'm like, I'm dying. And they're like, oh, what? So you think that workers shouldn't have any time off? Like, think about someone else for once, you asshole. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll just grin and bear it for a couple days, I guess. You refuse to tell them how you really felt? That's not fucking true. I told them how I really felt. It's that all of you motherfuckers, tragedy of the commons did, and have learned that to get what you want, you have to lie at the hospital. So when a motherfucker like me comes in and is being honest and is like, I feel really, really bad and I shit my pants 12 times a day, people are like, yeah, well, there's some dude over there with a headache that feels like a hydrogen bomb's going off every time his pulse beats. No, he's not. He just feels a little eepy, bro. Now every time you go to the hospital, you got to be like, there's fucking blood in my shit and my piss and my snot and my cum. And they're like, okay, we'll get you in 10 hours. And then some dude who's literally dying is like, oh, why did I say that there's only blood in my piss and my shit? I should have said blood in my cum. I should have said blood in my cum. They would have gotten me in. Instead, they left me in the parking lot to fucking die. We have a problem. But it's not as bad as the bubonic plague, in my opinion. But I personally think that I wouldn't have gotten the plague anyway. I just think like I'm naturally immune to it. Did you legit think you were dying? Well, okay, it's complicated. For the first week or so, I was like, I'm not dying, I just have diarrhea. But then, when it didn't get better and got worse, even though everything online said food poisoning resolves itself naturally in like 99.9% of cases in a few days, then I was like, well, that's not good. So I'm at least gonna go to the doctor. And then over the course of this time, like symptoms that you normally don't get with normal food poisoning started to manifest, you know, like my leg getting fucking cellulitis and hurting so bad that I couldn't wear long pants because the rubbing of the pant leg against my leg felt bad. And then like every day the rot on the leg spread a little bit more. That's where I started to be like, maybe I'm dying. And even then I went to the doctor with the scarlet rot and he was like, we don't really know what's up with this, but we got you an appointment with an internist like 6 weeks from here. Or an internalist, I should say. I don't remember. Anyway, she saved my life. They were not taking that shit seriously, bro. I was rubbing and rubbing on my red leg. And, I know it's all fun and games because it didn't happen to you. But it has had, like, lasting, long-term impact, bro. Like, I get gastrointestinal stuff way more easily now than I used to. Like anytime a stomach bug comes through our house, I'm getting hit by it 100%. I think they're still rebuilding like the scaffolding down there that that got destroyed during the infection. They, you know, like the bacteria that are also me. Also, I have like trauma associated with the medical system that may never resolve. So I do, I lie to the doctor every time now. I don't know, lying is maybe a strong word, but I exaggerate as much as I'm comfortable with while still maintaining some connection to the truth. And I don't just do it for myself, I do it for my kid as well. Because it feels like, you know, in hindsight, that's the only way you can actually get treatment because there's like limited resources and so much demand for healthcare that they can't give everybody the care that they need. So you gotta, you know, duke it out with your fellow man just to get some medicine that they're giving to the fucking poultry farms anyway, like every single day because you can't afford for the chickens to get Campylobacter. But when a real person gets Campylobacter, they're like, no, it's not Campylobacter. Every doctor is fucking Dr. House. No, it's never Campylobacter. Campylobacter would have resolved by now. You've got to have Crohn's disease. Here, get a colonoscopy for no reason. Get a, what's not a CAT scan, but is similar to a CAT scan? I had one of those too. Turns out it's fucking Campylobacter. CT, thank you. It was a CT. Turns out it's Campylobacter. Doctor said normally we don't do this until we sequence the bacteria to make sure it's not antibiotic resistant, but you seem like you're in pretty bad shape, so we're just going to give you a course of antibiotics as a precaution. The antibiotics saved my life. Then they sequenced the bacteria, and they're like, the bacteria was, one of the strains was resistant, the other one was supposed to be immune, so how are you feeling? And I was like, well, I'm glad you only told me that after the medicine that I needed saved my life. So there's a little bit, there's like a lasting impact to it. I can laugh about it, but when you motherfuckers laugh about it, I take it a little personally. I can laugh about it because I went through that shit. I was probably a ways away from dying, but I definitely started to experience, I think, a fraction of what it feels like to know that you are dying. To my model for getting sick for my entire life has been like, you get sick, it gets worse, it stabilizes, and you get better. This was really just every day was just one small step, not a leap, but every day was like one small step towards like, towards the light, basically. I was probably 100 steps away from the light, but I'm normally, I don't know, like 15,000 away, so it was pretty close. And then people are like, it wasn't that bad. I had food poisoning once. I'm like, no, you didn't, bro. You were hungover because you had 3 Mike's Hard Lemonades. You don't know what it's like. And don't even get me started. Yeah, if you lived in America, that still would have happened and you would have paid $30,000. Brother, shut your mouth. I know it sucks there, okay? I've watched Michael Moore movies. Yeah, you died, but in America, you would have died and you would have spent a lot of money and be dead. So, like, count your blessings. Anyway, they will not divide us. They will not divide us.